Okay, we're going to talk today about what to do if there's a supermarket that's owned by a Jewish person, and that's a supermarket. They sell chametz, they buy chametz, and they're running the regular business over the whole Pesach. And the question is whether the person can buy their chametz there after Pesach. He was Yid who, seemingly, it's a supermarket that has a Yid who owns it, and it's owned over Pesach by a Jewish person. It seemingly should be chametz over Pesach, which it didn't. If a Yid owns chametz over Pesach, the chametz is usher for him, it's usher for everybody else, he can't eat it, and he can't have an offering. So we're going to talk about some questions having to do with these big supermarkets where there's a Jewish person who owns it. We're not going to talk about, there's a few things that we're not going to talk about. Okay, we're not going to talk about how do you figure out if the Jewish person, if the owners are Jewish. If you just go to your regular supermarket, you may have no idea. So we're not going to talk about how you figure it out or if you're mechuyev to figure it out. Maybe you could just close your eyes and ignore the whole question, not think about it. We're talking about that you know that they are. We're not talking about another child, which is also very relevant, and that is if there's a Jewish distributor. Sometimes the supermarket itself might be owned by someone who's not Jewish, but the distributors who are feeding the food to that supermarket, they themselves are Jewish. That's another challenge. We're not going to talk about that either. That's not part of today's discussion. We're also not going to talk about, let's say we decided that the food is usher, how should you decide when the store got rid of their chametz? Unless they don't keep the chametz forever, or after a certain amount of days it's all sold out. How do you figure out when it's sold out? Or how do you figure out, or what do you do when you're not sure if they sold out all their chametz or not? You don't know if this box of cookies is from stuff that they had on Pesach or they didn't have on Pesach. Okay, so there's lots of questions about this that we're not going to talk about. But we're going to talk about, just focus on a specific shiloh, and that is, you have a company that's owned by a Yid. Now, to make things a little more complicated, do you have a question? Okay, to make things a little more complicated, a little more interesting, We're gonna talk about what happens when the simple case is a Yid owns the whole store. We're gonna talk about a variable to it, which is what happens if the Yid doesn't own the whole store. The Yid is just one of the partners in the store. So there's a store that has a number of partners to it, and one of them is a Yid. Not all of them, but one of those partners is a Yid. Okay, so then we're gonna talk about two main reasons, or two main ways that food could be mutter. Okay, the first is going to be a possibility that if the Yid is only a part owner, maybe that in itself is enough to be matzah the food. That's one possibility. And the second is, maybe if the Yid did a mechiras chametz, some form, some levels of mechiras chametz, maybe that would be enough. And we'll talk about the different ways that could play itself out, what kind of mechiras chametz you could make, and whether that should make a difference. Okay. Before we get really into it, I'll mention that there's a store in this area that has a Yid owns a little restaurant within a big supermarket, but there it's simple because that Yid closes his restaurant on Pesach. Of course, he's not open on Pesach. He's a front person. He's not open on Pesach. He's closed on Pesach. So he has no problem. He buys his chametz that he needs from him before Pesach. He keeps it. He doesn't use it on Pesach. We're talking about the person. He has chametz. He's running a supermarket. You would never know that it was Pesach. Okay. The first thing is this. There's a tshuva from a sefer called Zecher Yitzchok. Yitzchok Panavision. The tshuva was written about 100 years ago. It's tshuva chesed sefer, and he says he wants to be makel based on two things. One of the things that he's makel on, with his Yid is only a partial owner, is he has two things to be makel on. One is that since the store is set up as a corporate entity, it's not set up as a private ownership, it's set up as a corporate entity, it legally, the corporate entity does not belong to that specific person. The corporate entity is its own being. It's not owned by, I own the corporation, and the corporation owns the chametz, but I don't own the chametz, so he wants to be maker because of that. That in its whole own shaila of whether we should treat a corporation, as an entity that's not the actual owner, that's a shaila we're actually not going to get into. That's a bigger shaila. We're going to assume lahachbar on that just because it's owned by a corporation doesn't make it not owned by a Jew. Okay, let's put that on the side. But Zech Yitzchak has another tzad, that's what we will talk about, which is, he says, if the Yid only owns part of the company, less than half of the company, then the Yid's portion of the ownership of the company is like Bat Dvarayim, it doesn't exist. Most of the company is not Jewish, so the company is considered to be not Jewish. So he wants to be Mikel, he says he could make it because of that. And we'll talk a little bit, we'll see that many Nachmanim did not agree with that understanding. And as follows. The Shagatari talks about the following shaila. What happens if you had a Yid and a Goy who were partners in Chametz before Pesach? And they had a partnership over Pesach. So the Shagatari assumes, as do many, which is what we're heading to, which he assumes that of course that Chametz is Asher. What happens if the partners split up their partnership after Pesach? Okay, the 2 days after Pesach, they break up and they split it up. And they don't. The way they split it up is that they say, you partner who own 3/4 of it, you take 3/4 of the merchandise, and I own 1/4. I take 1/4 of the merchandise. So we split up the stores. We had 4 stores, so you take 3 stores, and I take 1 store. So now, when they split it up, so now that's an example of Brera, that we should say, now that the partners broke apart the partnership, and we decided that these shelves in the store belong to you, to the Yid, and these shelves in the store belong to the guy, we now know that all along, the partnership really was, the Yid owned these parts and the guy owned those parts. So, if we would be able to say Brera, then the Yid's portion would be Aser, but the guy's portion would be Mutter. So, although they were partners on Pesach, the part that the guy ends up with, that part is going to end up being Mutter. Okay, so we'd say, if you could say Brera, it would be Mutter. So he wants to say, there's a rule. It's a suffix whether there's yesh brera or ein brera, and therefore the halacha is by derises we're machmir that ein brera, by derabbanans we're mekel at yesh brera. So mamela, since chametz shavuot and pesach is only issur derabbanan, so we could be mekel and say yesh brera b'derabbanan. So the part that the guy ends up with, that part ends up being only, it turns out hovra davar l'mafreya, it was always the guy's. So the guy owns on pesach, not yid. If a guy owns chametz on pesach, it's mutter. So Yesh Breyer Bidabar will tell us that if the Yid and the Goy split up after Pesach, then the Chometz is going to be Mutter. Okay, this is what Shagat Shai said. Shagat Shuvin, Tachlem Chesprin, so does the Mishabur, that he could be Mekel. What happens if they didn't split it up? The underlying assumption is that if they didn't split up, then it would be Osir. It's only Mutter because we've got to say Yesh Breyer. And the Mechasitah speaks this out clearly. He says it from a Ramashik, that if they didn't split up, then it's going to be Osir. It's going to be Asr. If they didn't split up after Pesach, the Chometz will be Asr. Why? Because we're going to look at it that the Yid and the Goy each have a full ownership in the Chometz over Pesach. Until they split up, they each have a full ownership. Well, I bought it from Chometz, it was owned by Yid. So that is to say, the fact that the Yid only owns a small portion, less than 50%, is not going to be matzurit. There's a little sharetzin about it in Tafim Ches. So it's valid. He says that there are those who say Yesh mitzadid and that it's bottled right, but he says he's not so happy about that. Okay, the guy was saying the sharetzin is not so happy about that. Okay, so this is you were seeing the Achronim are saying, assuming or many of the Achronim are saying or assuming that the fact that the Yid owns less than 50% is not enough to make. Okay, and if you look in Rav Shimon Eider's Sefer on Hilchos Pesach, he brings that Rav Moshe told him, he brings a machlokes about this. He doesn't bring the Zeche Yitzchak that we mentioned, but he brings that Rav Moshe told him that you should be machmir. If the Yid owns a meaningful amount, you should be machmir. I'll explain what that term means in a second. If the Yid owns a meaningful amount, you should be machmir. But Rav Kotler said you could be mekel, that it was bottle brave. Okay, so according to Rav Kotler, which is going along the lines of the Zeche Yitzchak, he doesn't quote it, but along those lines you could be mekel. According to Rav Moshe, the way he's quoting it, you'd have to be machmir. What does it mean you should have a meaningful share? So there's a tshuva for Moshe. It's actually in Chelek Yen Eben Ezer, but it's at the end of a tshuva. Moshe says, Moshe is talking about a Yid, if I remember correctly, a Yid and a Goy have partners for Shabbos. And Moshe has a question: is what happens when a person owns stocks? If I own stock in the company, so if I own one share of Entenmann's donuts, does that mean that I am now a partner in that company? In Ramosha's case, it's lending in Ribbis, that now if that company lends money, am I lending it for Ribbis? Or, in our cases, if I own one share of that company, am I now considered to own Chametz over Pesach? Because that company, it's a bakery, that's all they do is sell Chametz, so maybe my owning that share makes me be considered to be owning Chametz. So Ramosha said like this, he says, if the Yid just bought some shares as an investment You know, he's a 13-year-old boy who decided his bar mitzvah money should go to invest into stocks. So he bought 3 shares of some company, and he has no say. He has no real ownership, although technically on paper he has ownership. But it's not considered he really has ownership. And therefore the din is, Ramesh says, that's not considered an owner. But if he has a large share, or he has a small share, but that share gives him a voice in the company. I mean, if you own 1% of General Motors, that's a big share of the company. Of, you know, Coca-Cola, anybody who owns one share would be a big owner. If you have enough that you have a say, or you have just a large amount, that 20% ownership, that person is considered to be a real owner. Okay, so we would apply that to here also. If the person owned 15% of a company, of a supermarket, we'd say that's a meaningful amount of ownership. If he's one of a couple of partners, that's a meaningful ownership, and that would make the chametz aser. That's how Rabbi Eider brings what Rabbi Moshe says. And he brings up Aaron argues, so that's how he brings Rabbi Moshe says. However, when we talked to Rabbi first about this question once, Rabbi first said that that Rabbi Moshe told him, he even remembers the day, Rabbi first even has it in his notes, that was on March 22nd, 1977, okay, that Rabbi Moshe told him that if the Yid has less than 50%, you could be Makel. And the way he said it was, since it's an Issur Rabbanan, we can assume that it's Batel Baroiv, and the Yid's share is Batel. If the Yid owns less than 50%, then it's Mutar. Okay, so here Shimon Hayer says, brings Rav Moshe to be Machmir about that. Rabbi first tells us that Rav Moshe told him otherwise. So now, at first, it sounds a little funny, because the Prince of Tshuva, I mentioned the Ebenezer, which is not talking about Chometz, the Prince of Tshuva and Ebenezer gives this whole way of deciding how a stock owner is or is not a meaningful amount. So Rabbi Friedman wrote something in the Chosh Mishpachal, printed contras about Hilchos Ribbis, this year. They printed a contras about Hilchos Ribbis. In it, Rabbi Friedman talks about the Shaila, Rabbi Fryan Friedman. And he wants to be Mechalik that Shabbos, Rabbi Moshe only was talking about Shabbos over there. And maybe he'd be making one over there. Okay. Anyhow, so we have a number of sheikhs here. We have a Zeich Yitzchak who says, if it owns less than 50%, then it's Mutter. Rabbi Kotler went along with that. It's reported that he went along with that. A number of the Achronim, the Shagas Ayri, seems to not go like that. Rabbi Moshe, we have a question which way he went on that. So we have a Shaila which way to go on this question. So when we spoke to Rabbi Schwartz about it, Rabbi Schwartz was very comfortable being similar on the Zeich Yitzchak. The Zeich Yitzchak says, if it owns less than 50%, then it's not the chametz that partnership owns is not aser, and therefore it's mutter after Pesach. And others are willing to be several hundred also. So if you're going to say like that, then it's mutter. There's no question. It will depend. If the yid owns less than 50%, then the food in the supermarket is mutter. If the yid owns more than 50%, the chametz in the supermarket is going to be aser. And so you have to find it out. Is it more or less? But that means that even if he has a meaningful share, it would be mutter. So we would have to think about the second child who's there, mechiras chametz. But any of that stuff, it doesn't make a difference. As long as you don't less than 50%, you're safe and you're clear, and you can go home now. You don't have to think about any more shayos. Okay? So that's one side, one big side. Again, Rabbi Schwartz said, you could be samach on that. If it's less than 50%, you could be samach on that, and you could eat the food, no problems in the paper. Okay? But now, there's another side. Let's move to our second side, which is there a type of mechiras chametz? Is there a way that they could do mechiras chametz, and that's your own? Whether they do some regular mechiras chametz, will that be good enough? So, The best type of mechiras chametz in this situation, the best type is usually not the type that gets done. Okay, the best type of mechiras chametz would be is like this. Again, this what I'm about to describe works when there's partners, a yid and a goy who own the same supermarket. And that is to say, what they would do is the yid would say to the goy, for the 8 days of Pesach, okay, so 8.5 days because it has to be Erev Pesach also, okay, so for the 9 days that include Pesach, I'm selling to you, my partner, my full share of this company. And in exchange for the fact that I'm selling you my share for these 9 days, you partner
sell his whole share?
Right, he's selling.
Can he sell 1% and then I'll make him 49% owner?
Oh, well, yeah, if he bounces himself down to being less than 50%, we get back to the Zeich Yitzchak. I'm talking about, you don't want to be someone from the Zeich Yitzchak. So he says, I own 15%. Okay, I own less than 50%. I'm going to sell out my shares for the days of Pesach. For these 9 days, you own it. It's all yours now for these 9 days. And in exchange for that, I just gave you away something very valuable. I gave you a company for 9 days. Okay, my share is worth millions of dollars. In exchange, in the summer, we'll pick some days from June 1st to June 10th, you're going to sell me your shares of the company. And what we're going to do is, we're going to be exchanging for these days you own my shares, for those days I own your shares. And that type of a mechir, where they're exchanging their shares, gives a certain legitimacy to the sale. Because if you do, if you would just sell the whole company to somebody else, to a guy, if you sell it to this person for these days, how come he's not earning any profits? How? And also, if you sell it to just someone in the street, not your partner, you sell it to someone in the street, why do you trust that person? Does it seem reasonable that you're signing a piece of paper, selling something worth millions of dollars to someone who you never met, and that person who owns that thing that's worth millions of dollars, he owns it for 9 days, and when the 9 days are over, he sells it right back to you, and he doesn't take any profits from it. Didn't your company make profit over this time? So the whole thing has a very bad taste. It looks what we call a hook of a clue. It looks like a joke. You're selling this whole company to the janitor in your shul who you never met, who has no idea. You're selling millions of dollars worth of a company for nothing. He's putting you a $10 down payment. He gets no profits. But here, when you do it with the partners, that has a much more of a legitimate look to it. If one partner sells it to the other, well, they work together. They know each other. They each know what it's worth. And I'm getting something in exchange. And he said, I'm giving you my profits for these days, and you're going to give me profits for those days in the middle of the summer when you go on vacation. I don't know, you pick the time when you want to be out of the office. You say, for those days, I'm selling you my shares. Okay? If they would do that, that would be a type of a mechira that would be have a certain legitimacy to it, and it would avoid a problem that we're going to talk about in a second with the traditional mechira signs. Okay? But those type of mechiras don't happen too often. You realize, in order to do the mechira that I just described, you have to get the two partners to sit down, draw up a special contract between them that says, I'm selling to you and you're selling to me, and the whole thing, which could happen, but it would only happen if the people are really more seriously interested or have a very good relationship in a way that they want the mechira to happen. Okay, but in your traditional, in your usual case, it doesn't work like that. Okay, so most people want to just do a regular mechira summons. They go to the rabbi, they sign a piece of paper that says, I'm selling my chametz for Pesach, they sign the thing, and they end the Pesach, and it all gets sold back to them. So, our question is that kind of mechira going to be good enough for these people? Okay. So the first question that strikes you is that, wait a second, I made a mechira summons, I'm selling my chametz to the guy, how can he say that? Look at my stores open on Pesach. I signed a paper that says, as of 10 o'clock on the morning of Erev Pesach, my chametz is all sold to Johnny. Really? At 10:01, your store is out there selling noodles and bread and cookies and everything. So how could you say that I sold it to somebody?
What's wrong with that? While he owns it, they're still operating.
So I'm the yid. I sold my chametz to the guy. But then I go ahead and sell the guy's chametz to people. It's his chametz. It's not my chametz. How do I have a right? What am I doing selling his chametz? How could you think that this is a real mechira? I sell something to the guy, and then the guy goes, and then I'm going ahead and I'm selling his stuff. So that's sort of a well-known that Ramosh has a number of tshuvas. It was the shailas, actually very similar to what we're talking about, which is the shaila of Walbaum's. It was owned by a Jewish person, Julia Walbaum's. She was a Jewish lady, owned the stores, and she made mechiras chametz, but her store stayed open on Pesach. So Ramosh said, we say, Tvarim Shem Belev and then Tvarim. The fact that she doesn't mean it seriously doesn't mean anything. She signed the paper. She made a mechira. On Pesach, she takes things and she sells it to people, so she's a ganav on those things. And she's a ganav, and those food that she sells become usher. But of course, no one cares about that. The food that she sells becomes usher. Someone's buying it on Pesach. Obviously, that person doesn't care about chametz shavu on Pesach. He doesn't give anything. He's buying bread on Pesach. That food becomes usher. But whatever doesn't get sold on Pesach, that stuff stays mutter because the mechira was chalana. The mechira worked. We see them doing things on Pesach. That just the stores are gone.
But a yid who's going to that store would also be buying stolen stuff.
If a yid goes on Pesach. If he goes on Pesach, he's stealing the stuff. But any yid who's going to buy it on Pesach obviously doesn't care about buying.
He's going to buy it by Nachametz.
So if because the mechira is only on the chametz. But then the star mechira says, I'm selling all my chametz to the guy. So if I go in and buy a banana in the store, I didn't steal anything. What happens if I go in and buy a loaf of bread on Pesach? If I do that, you're right, I'm stealing also. But obviously, I don't care about that. And that chametz is also. Because when it's stolen, it belongs to the yid temporarily. They coined it by making the geneva, they coined it. So that's chametz shavu Pesach. Big deal, I'm buying bread on Pesach. Obviously, I don't care about these kind of things. Okay? So, Ramosha says that, and that's by many people very accepted, that there's no problem, the mechira is chal, even though the store stays open. But, and that's good. That's a good thing, because it helps the owner. The owner is Ervan Lesi Surim, because for whatever they don't steal, they're Ervan Lesi Surim. Yidin who buy that stuff after Pesach are not Ervan chametz shavu Pesach. But, the question is like this. All of that kind of a mechira is fine from chametz that the store owned when Pesach started. That's chametz that the store owned when the mechira's chametz happened. But what happens if an hour after the Mechira, the store gets a delivery of bread? So they made a Mechira at 10 o'clock on their Pesach, and all the chametz that they only sold. At 11 o'clock, up pulls a truck and delivers 100 loaves of bread. So those 100 loaves of bread, they weren't sold. I didn't sell those bread. I only sold what I have. Not only that, did I only sell what I have, so you want to say, okay, we'll put it into the Shtar Mechira, and we'll talk about that. We'll put in the Shtar Mechira that I'm even selling the things that are going to be bought later. He says, but that's Davar Shel Bo'Olam. How can I can't do Mechira on the things that I don't own yet. If I say at 10 o'clock, Mechira comes happens at 10 o'clock. I mean, at 11 o'clock, bread comes. I can't sell the bread that came at 11 o'clock. I couldn't sell it at 10 o'clock because I didn't own it yet. So how is I going to be selling that bread? So Rav Moshe, in a number of his tshuvas, in these tshuvas that have to do with wall bounds, these kind of tshuvas, he says, the mechir is only chal for the chametz that the store owned when Pesach started, or when the mechir happened. Chametz that the store gets later on, is not included in the mechir. The mechir happened at 10 o'clock. If they get chametz at 11 o'clock, it's not included. And what happens? That chametz is aser. Okay? What will you do? How will you figure that out? That's a good child. How will you figure that out? But that's not for today. How do you figure out? Well, how would you know which came in, which is which? That's a good child. But that's what it says in the Tshuva. However, Rabbi Bluth, of course, a big Talmud of Moshe, told Rabbi first, this we didn't remember the day on, Rabbi Bluth told Rabbi first that when Rabbi Moshe wrote those Tshuvas, he was only talking about a situation where you signed the regular Mechiras Chametz. The regular Mechiras Chametz says, as of 10 o'clock in their Pesach, I'm selling all my Chametz to the garden. But if they would have written in special, I'm selling all my Chametz that I have, and I'm selling all the chametz that we buy on Pesach, that would be chal. That's what Rabbi Bluth told Rabbi first. Rabbi Moshe said that. If you write that in specifically, that would be chal. So we'll accept that that's true. The question is, why should it be true? How could such a thing work? How could you make a mechira on the davar shel bo'olam, or what the shulchan aruch was a davar she'ein b'reshus? How can you make such a mechira? You don't own it. How could you sell the chametz that maybe wasn't even baked yet? If you bought, they're going to buy bread on Chol Hamoed. That bread wasn't even baked when you made the Mechiras Chametz. So how can I make a Mechiras Chametz on something that I don't even have, or maybe doesn't even exist yet? Okay, so we get Rabbi first. Rabbi first, how is that going to work? How are you going to do a Davar Shel Bo'Olam? So Rabbi first says, I don't offhand remember all the details of why it should work. He says, I've looked into it and it does work. He says, I remember right now is that we're being samach on a sheet of a Mordechai. Okay, and it's a Mordechai that we're being samach on to allow such a Mechira. But he says, you know, right now it was very busy. The time we talked to him about it was right before Pesach. He said, he'll look into it when it gets a little later, when it's calmer. But for now, it was too busy. He says, but we're being sent off on a Mordechai. Okay? So it turns out, we went looking to see what could we find the sheet of Mordechai that he's being sent off on, just to get a Havana, but you don't get it. How could you make such a Mechira? And it turned out we found three sheets of three different Mordechais that would have been able to let us be makel about this case. Okay? So go figure. I don't know which one is the right one, but three different Mordechais that you could maybe be sent off. And they are. All of these Mordechais are in Bava Basra. The first is, the Mordechai says, the din that a davar shel bo'olam, you can't make a kinyan on, that's only true when it's a davar shel bo'olam, when the thing is completely non-existent. But if the thing that you're selling to the person is matsui, the thing is, it's out there in the market. Okay, it's available in the market. And there's a shar, there's a set price for it. So it's completely accessible and available to the seller. That's not considered a davar shel bo'olam. That's considered a davar shel bo'olam, even though I don't have it. I don't have the item yet. I myself don't have it yet. It's just out, but it's out there in the market. That's good enough to be considered a davar shel bo'olam, and you're allowed to sell. Okay, that sheet of the Mordechai, it's broad. It's a shiloh whether the Shulchan Aruch maybe even brings it himself in the dinim of Davar Shel Bo'Olam, it's in Siman Resh Tes and Chosh Mishpat. In Halacha Hey and Vav, in Halacha Hey, the Mechaber says, if it's a Davar Habav Olam, but you don't have it yet, it implies that a kinyan doesn't work. He says it's just a Mishapara. In Halacha Vav, he says that if you sell something that's available in the market and you don't have it yet, you're mechuyev to go out and buy it and give it to the guy, which implies that the kinyan does work. And therefore, you're mechuyev to go out and get it for the guy. You sold it to the guy. Even though you didn't have it, you're required to get it. Okay, so there's a big shayla in the shach and the smell over there. Is the mechaber really passing like this, Mordechai? Or is he not passing like it? That machlikus spills over into machlikus of Ketois and Nesivus. Right there in that simon, Ketois and Nesivus, as to what the mechaber is trying to pass over there. There's a chavis das in Yerdea, who wants to talk about it. There's quite a tumult about this thing, that it can sign that the Mechaber is saying, could be the Rachronim hold, that in fact you pass on this Mordechai, that if the Dover is not in your property, but it's available out in the market, then it's considered Dover Bodol. And that might cover lots of the things. I mean, if let's say the company sells Cheerios, and they get a delivery of Cheerios an hour after the Mechaber comes or a day later, Cheerios are available in the market. Supermarkets buy it all the time from General Mills. They're available. There's a price. They know what the price is for it. It's all set and ready to go. So Ken Zayin, that if a Mechira could work on that Dover Sheena Bereshuza, or Dover Sheena Bereshuza, because it's available in the market and it has a shark to it. Okay, that's one Mordechai that we could be Samacha. That maybe a Mordechai you could be Samacha. Next, another Mordechai says, the only time the kinyan of Dover Shalai B'Olam doesn't work is when you say, I want to make a kinyan now on the Dover Shalai B'Olam. What happens if I say, I'm going to make a kinyan now, but that kinyan is going to be chal as soon as it's B'Olam? Okay, I don't want the kinyan to be chal now. I want the kinyan to be chal at the time when it's B'Olam. Then the Mordechai brings such a shita that says, maybe that kinyan on Dover Shalai B'Olam can be chal. Okay, now, the truth is, the Mordechai says he doesn't like that shita. Mordechai says it's not true. He says it's not true. If you can say it should be chal when the thing is bolon, that's not, doesn't work. The Ramah in this siman Alocha Dalet brings 2 days about that thing. He brings 2 days as to whether that works or not. Maybe when you make a kinyan or dover, shalom bolon, to be chal when it will be bolon, maybe that will work.
But it's still going through the Jewish.
Oh, very good. We're coming to that question. Very good. That's a very good question. We're going to come to that in 1 second. That's a very good question. And the third one is, let me just say the last Mordechai. We'll say some other things. We'll get to that in a second. The third is, another Mordechai that says, if you can only not make a kinyan in Dover Shalai B'Olam if you make that kinyan only for the Dover Shalai B'Olam. What happens if you make the kinyan on Dover Shalai B'Olam together with the Dover HaB'Olam? In other words, your kinyan is able to be chal. It's just, you want to be chal on more things, even if Dover Shalai B'Olam, then he brings it, you're allowed to do that. The Ramah in Halacha Dal also brings that as Yeshamu, that you could be Samuch on that. I think it's Yeshamu, he brings that you could be Samuch on that, that then the kinyan on Dover Shalai B'Olam works, which of course is in our case. In our case, you're selling the chametz that you have, and you want to say, I also want to sell the chametz that I'm going to have. So you're including that also. So the Shita Samordechai that also should work, even though it's Loi B'Olam, but since the kinyan is on other things, then it will work. Okay, so now, before we get to your question, I just want to tell you like this. These are all Mordechais. That it could be we're being Samuchan to allow the kinyan to Shalai B'Olam. Rabbi Raka told us a few people, shitas that are not Mordechai, that are also to be Mitzar possibly over here. And one is a tshuva of the Skan Aaron. Those are Sfarim written between the World War I and World War II. He's Mitzar. The middle Mordechai that I told you, if you say it'll be Chal later on, that Mordechai, together with, it could be that with Kinyan Shtar. Kinyan Shtar maybe does work on the Dover Shalai B'Olam. Okay? The Marsham is Mitzaref, the Mordechai, and some other things. And there's another sheet, a safe called Mili de Pischa, who says that maybe Kinyan Situmta works on the Dover Shalai B'Olam. Kinyan Situmta means that if you have Minik HaSoichun, you have something that people who do business, they have a certain way that they make a transfer, like they shake hands. That's a famous way of doing it. They shake hands. Shaking hands is not an official Kinyan in Chesh Mishpat. I mean, well, actually, it's in Chesh Mishpat, as a Situmta. It's not technically, in the Torah, it wouldn't be a Kinyan, but if the people who do business, that's how they make transactions, then it's going to work. So he wants to be Samuch on that. Now, that Shiloh, that whether Kinyan Situmta works for Dover Shalai B'Olam, you know, what meaning is, the Soichrim have our practice that they sell things to one another through a certain Kinyan, and it works even on a Loi B'Olam. Okay, that's 2 days. At the end of Shabbos in the Hagoris Mordechai, just for your knowledge, the Sefer Hagoris Mordechai, even though it's printed right after the Mordechai, and even though it says Mordechai on the top, and even though it uses the same numbering system as the Mordechai, but the Shem Agdol, the Chidah, says that it's not really the Mordechai. Right? If you read it, you would never know. I mean, it's really hard to know. It says Mordechai on the top, and it uses the same numbers, and it's printed right next to it, but it's really not the Mordechai. Okay, so it doesn't count as another, this is not a fourth Mordechai. Anyway, but the Hagoris Mordechai brings 2 days about this. Hishayla is a person promise somebody that when he has a baby, this person would be the model for his baby. And that was considered normal in those days, that people made such commitments before the baby was born. He brings 2 days as to whether that's chal, because it's you did something that was up. The minute of the Sarchim was to do that. I mean, in that those places they did that. But could that work even if Shlomo? Just like Bivuhin, and the Rambam brings such a day. It's a machlokes in Reish Aleph, a machlokes in Chayes and Nesivos, whether that's correct or not. Okay, so that's another thing to be samach. Okay, so now we have all these now possibilities of what we could be samach on to make a kinyan on Dover Shlomo. But that brings up the question of what you asked beforehand, brings up the question like this. Let's say in Dinei Chush and Mishpat, a Dover Shlomo Olam, you could be, somehow you can make a kinyan on it. You did Situmta, you did Shtar, you did Utena, something else. You had a whole bunch of ideas of sometimes a kinyan on Dover Shlomo Olam could work, and maybe that could work in this case. Maybe it would fit in this case. Situmta is...
What is it?
Oh, they make... No, they actually make a kinyan Situmta. One of the kinyanim that the Yid and the Goy make with each other is they make a kinyan Situmta. The point here is not just that they actually make a handshake kind of a kinyan, but in Minach HaSoichrim, you're allowed to make mechiras on things that are you don't yet own. That's considered acceptable practice to commit yourself that thing is being sold. Okay? So the shayla is this. Let's say in Hilchos Choshen Mishpat, it's going to work. Let's say it's going to work like that. But what about for Hilchos Chometz? For Choshen Mishpat, it means is that when I finally get that object, it belongs to this other guy. I made a kinyan and it works. But should we say that the Chometz bounces through the Yid's Rishus? When did the Yid get delivery of the bread? The bread came to him on Pesach. So you want to say that the Dover Shlomo Olam, I didn't have it, didn't even exist, the bread wasn't even baked when I made the Mechira. But when I get it, the Kinyan is going to be Chal anyhow. But does it first have to belong to the Yid and then belong to the Goy? Does it bounce through the Yid's Rishus temporarily? Or does it go straight to the Goy? So from logic, we would have guessed it bounces through the Yid's Rishus. The Yid gets it. And now the kinyan that he made yesterday is now chal to say that it goes over to the guy. Well, if the Yid owns it even for a second, it becomes chal mitzvah of a Pesach. It doesn't have to be that I own it for the whole Pesach. I own it even for a second. So it's a logically we might think that, especially in the second Mordechai. The second Mordechai says that a davar shalom olam, a kinyan could work a davar shalom olam if you want to be chal when it will be bol olam. So that means the kinyan doesn't happen on erev Pesach. The kinyan happens on Chol HaMoed when I get to deliver your bread. So in that case, we would for sure think that the Yid has to own it, and then the kinyan is chal. It's like waiting. The kinyan is chal, and it belongs to the guy. In which case, it might help for Chol HaMoed. But what does it have to do with us? How does that help us for Chol HaMoed or Pesach? So I don't know what the answer to that is, and I'm not sure that I have a good answer to that. But as I mentioned, this Khan Aaron and the Marsham both are being summoned on this Mordechai will end the Chol HaMoed over Pesach. Okay. Some of the other sheets we talked about, four of them talk about Pesach, the Marsham and the Skan Aaron are both talking about being Samech on this for Chomet Shavuot Pesach. And not only that, the Skan Aaron, when he brings this, makes a whole point, if he answers the Kasha by saying that specifically the Yid said, I'm going to get the Chomet on Pesach, and when I get it, then it's going to be sold to you. Okay, so he makes a whole to-do that's the point, that the king is only going to be Chal later on. The Yid's going to get it first. So somehow they were comfortable, and they assumed the Yid does not own it. Okay, but we need to understand that. Why Taki is it like that? If the Yid gets it on Pesach, and the king doesn't happen, hardly the king can't happen until it comes to the Yid. So the Yid gets it, doesn't the Yid own it for a second as it passes through his resource? Okay? So we've heard all these different possibilities as to why it could be that if you make a Mechira, the Mechira could be Tal even on the Dover Shlomo Olam, even, or should we say, the Dover Shainer Bershusa, even though the Yid doesn't have the Chometz yet. He can make the Mechira. And that might be what Ramosha had in mind, and that might be a reason to be Samech. But if you want to do this, you have to just remember, if you want to do this, then the Yid, when he makes his Mechira's Chometz, he has to write in his Shtar HaShah, when he gives permission to the Rav to sell it, he has to write in, and I'm selling the Chometz that I'm going to get on Pesach also. That's not what it says in the regular Shtar HaShah. He has to speak that out, he's going to get that. Most Yidden don't get Chometz on Pesach. So he has to write that into his Shtar HaShah, and the Rav, when he sells the chametz to the guy, he has to also write that in. He has to write that into his shtar. I'm selling to you all the chametz owned by these Jews, and any chametz of these Jews will get on Pesach. If they don't speak it out, it's not going to be included. It's only included if you speak it out. If you don't speak it out, that's not going to be part of the mechira. So you have to have a modified shtar hashar and a modified mechira to include that. Okay? So, but potentially, we have all these sudden to be made on it. As we heard, Rabbi Booth told Rabbi First, that you could be Samech on that, and Kinyan, Rishwat would have been Samukhan also. But on all these starting to be Mako, why you could do the Kinyan even on the stuff you didn't have, but you have to do it. Doesn't help if you don't do it. You have to actually speak it out that you're doing the Kinyan for those things. There's one other possibility. It's related to what we said before, which is maybe the Yid should sell, not sell his chametz to the guy, but he should sell his shares in the company to the guy. Okay? Now, before when I spoke, I said a good idea would be for the Yid to sell to his partner. Okay? But there are those who won't let the Yid sell his ownership. He owns 15% of a company, 20% of a company, he'll sell it to the guy. He'll sell his ownership of the company. Then, of course, there wouldn't be problems with Dabar Shalom B'Olam. It wouldn't be Dabar Shalom B'Olam because the guy owns the company. All the things that go on in over Pesach are the guy's. Okay? The two possible questions that's wrong with that is, one is, what I mentioned before, the Chukha B'Tulah. Come on, what kind of joke is it that I'm giving you my company, you own it for 10 days, I never met you before, and you get no profits from it? Okay? So that's a question whether that Chukha B'Tulah, the fact that it looks like such a joke, like a farce, is enough to destroy the Mechira. Okay? Is it just so, like, obvious that it's not a Mechira? And the second thing is, if a person was to sell his ownership of a company to somebody else, there may be legal requirements. You may not be able to just write on a piece of paper, I'm selling you my company. There may be legal requirements when you make a transaction of that sort. Maybe legal requirements. Dain Weiss, and here's truth about this, at the beginning of Chiyar Gimel, Nechassitl, in one paragraph he brings a number of people who talk about this, who seem to be Mako. That even if you didn't meet all the legal requirements for a transaction, Kenzai, that it works in Hadin anyhow, even if the legalities of it, it maybe wouldn't stand up in court. Because if you just say, I'm selling you my, you know, $50 million worth of shares of this and this company, legally it might not work, but even so it might be good for Mechira's arms. Okay, so just to wrap up what we said. We have a company, if you have a supermarket that's owned by a Yid has a portion of it, he owns a partial share of that company. The supermarket is doing business on Pesach, they're buying and selling chametz like regular. So, is it possible that chametz might be motive to Pesach? So we had two main possibilities of Tvimeko. One was the Zecher Yitzchak, and those who say like him, that if the Yitz portion is less than 50%, then the Yitz portion is buckled, it doesn't count, and it's as if it was owned by a guy. That was one possibility. And the second possibility was that if the Yid would make a Mechiras chametz, and they would make a special Mechiras chametz that would include in it a provision that says, we're not only selling the chametz that we own, but we're selling the chametz that we're going to buy on Pesach also, then there are a whole bunch of reasons why that might work, a whole bunch of tziruchim, all kinds of shitas that might be enough to be samachan, that the kinyan should be chal, even on the chametz that the Yid doesn't own yet, and it might be good enough. Either one of these things would be good enough to be matter the chametz. Rabbi Schwartz, for sure, was said you could be samachan the zechir, so maybe even, I believe he even said you could be samachan the other thing also, in which case, under the right circumstances, the chametz might be matter.